So what is in you is kind of the underlying thought of today, I guess you would. And but really what I want to talk to you about tonight is we must reach this world. We must reach this world for Christ. We must reach the world with the gospel. And you know, the world is dying and it's going to hell because of what is in us, what's in our heart, and what we're not doing with it. That's why the world's dying and going to hell tonight, folks. It's not because they don't know and they're never going to know. It's because those that do know aren't telling people. And so the power here, the fact of the matter is that it's not because of the lack of power of the gospel. It's because of those that have the gospel in them is not doing anything with it. And so we must reach this world for Christ, folks. That's our duty. That's why we're here. That's why we got left here. In fact, it says in John chapter 17, verses 14, 15, 16, and 17, in those four verses, Jesus is actually praying for the apostles and for the church, and he says in that part of Scripture, he says, look, he's not praying and saying to the Father for us to be taken out of this world. He's just praying that we be in this world and that we not be taken over by evil so that we can tell others how they can be saved and sanctified just as he was, and that the world that we live in, they hate us because we're not of the world, but we're not supposed to be taken out of the world. We're supposed to be here in the world to tell them about the power of the gospel. And people are dying and going to hell not because of the lack of the power of the gospel, but because of the lack of the Christians who have it in them not letting it out of them. And so tonight I just, you know, I want to talk to you a little bit about what we must do, what we must have in order to reach this world for Christ, because that's really what the most important thing is after we're saved, amen, is that once we reach the world, we're going to glorify him by reaching others. And so Spurgeon said, not that, he didn't want proof that you were called to the mission field, because you see, everybody's called to the mission field. Everybody has their own mission field and they're called. Spurgeon actually said, yeah, prove to me that God did not call you to go. That's the call that you should be looking for. Prove to me that I'm not supposed to go and only get that call from God. You see, and if we're going to reach the world tonight, folks, we see there in chapter, in verse number 6, it says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. And we're going to do just a touch of review, but as we start into here tonight, but it says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. And as we talked about this morning, we talked about what that fear was. It's that hesitation, that doubt, if you would, that spirit of uncertainty, that spirit of dreading, if you would. Oh, I really have to do that. That's the type of spirit that we're talking about there. He said that's not from God. That spirit is not from God. But we see that if we're going to reach this world, number one, we must have a right spirit. We must have a right spirit if we're going to reach this world for Christ. Because, and the first way that we need to have it within that right spirit is we got to have the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so if we're going to have the right spirit and we're going to have a biblical spirit that's right with God, we must have that spirit that's not of fear, because that's not of God, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so as we look at power here, we went over that this morning very extensively. But, you know, we can't do it with our power, folks. If we're going to have the right spirit, we got to have the spirit of his power, not our power. And so as you go into other countries, there's different adapters and whatnot to hook up to the power. And it's not, we have to have the right adapter, if you would, to hook into the right power, or it's no good for nothing. I can be doing all kinds of things with my strength, but it's not going to do me any good, because I'm not the right adapter for this world, folks. Jesus Christ is the adapter that's going to fit and that's going to change their life. And the power that we're going to have in our spirit can only come from the adapter that fits into the Holy Spirit's power. And you see, we can't do it with our power. His power is not replaceable. We can't do it with anything else, any other power in this world. The only power that we can have to reach this world for Christ is the spirit of his power. You know, if we're not going to do, if we don't have the spirit of his power today, and we talked about it this morning, if we don't have that, I beg you, can you please, I'm begging you tonight, would you please take care of that and get a hold of his power before you leave this building tonight? It's not okay to leave, coming to the church and asking God to show you something, and he shows you something and you leave without taking it with you. And if you don't have the Spirit of His power tonight, I beg you to get it before you leave, because without His power, we might as well stop right here. So not only do we need to have the right spirit as far as the spirit of power, but the spirit of love. The spirit of love. He says that there, secondly, and of love. And let me tell you just a quick story about two men by the names of Jim Elliott and Nate Saint, who were missionaries into the country of Ecuador, all right, where Brother Josh is. And so I thought that was neat that my best friend is there right now, and he doesn't have to be afraid of what these guys were, not necessarily afraid of, but what happened to them was is they were going to reach this part of Ecuador where they were cannibals, if you would, all right? Not if you would, they were cannibals. They were savages. They killed people and they ate them. That's what they did. And these people lured these guys in and they killed them. And for sake of a longer story about it, I mean, they killed them and they ate them. And that's just the truth of the matter. I know that's like, oh my goodness, that's what happened to them. You're like, oh my, maybe they were in sin. How in the world, why would God allow that to happen to a missionary sent by Him? Well, because you see, God continues to work in hearts and lives. And whenever they called back over the two-way radio, I'm not exactly 100% how that transaction happened, but the word got back to the base camp, and Elizabeth Elliott, which was Jim Elliott's young wife, they had just gotten married. In fact, she was pregnant with their child, heard that this had just happened, that Jim Elliott died, was killed, and was eaten by these savages that they went to reach for the gospel of Jesus, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And instead of her saying, she was shattered. She was completely, just unimaginable. Just how we all, that's how we would all be when we hear the same news. I mean, what I would do, I would say, if that happened to my wife, and she was out telling people about the Lord, and we were just maybe just say on a missions trip, or even here, and that happened, I would look up to God, and I would say, why, God? We're trying to do what's right, and this would happen, and it shattered her life. But when she was asked, are you going to return to the States? Are you going to go back home and see your family? She said, no, I'm not going to do that. They said, well, what are you going to do? She said, I'm supposed to love them. I'm supposed to love them. So they said, are you going to go back? Are you going to? She said, no, I want you to take me to those men that killed my husband. Because the Bible says that we're supposed to love our enemies, doesn't it? And she said that she wants me to, I want you to take them back and or take me back to them. And she was interviewed and asked later on in life. She died in 2015, and she was only there for a few years after that. But she was asked, you know, when you went back, were you scared? And she said, oh, yes, I was scared. In fact, my knees were shaking so bad the first few times that I went back there. But she said, when I got there and I saw those men and I saw those savages there, I said to them that I loved them, and it scared them to death. And because you say, you know, Brother Jake, stuff like that don't happen anymore. Stuff like that don't happen to me. Well, do we have the spirit of love? Do we really love the lost sinner like Christ loved a lost sinner? We can't have those experiences. She would have never had that story if she wouldn't have went and loved them. If she would have done the logical thing. Look, nobody would have said anything wrong of Elizabeth Elliott if she would have left and came back to the States and served God in some local church. Nobody said one thing. In fact, they still would have said, man, I'm so sorry for you. I can't believe that happened. I'm praying for you. How can we help you? No, but she went the second mile. She went a step above, and she said, no, I'm supposed to love my enemy, and I'm going to go tell these folks who killed my husband that I love them. We are commanded to love our enemies, and it's, look, it's all because, folks, let's stop and think about it. It's all because of God's grace, is it not? Because of God's grace, we're sitting here tonight. Josh Poss is down in Ecuador telling those same people about Jesus Christ as we're telling up here in Jefferson City. Our pastors in Chicago telling about the same Jesus Christ and the good news of the gospel as we are here in Jefferson City. There's all kinds of churches in America because of God's grace. Because we're sitting here because of God's grace. Let's not ever forget that the reason why we're here, the reason why we're able to do what we do is because of God's unfailing love and because of His grace. Amen? And if we're going to reach this world for Christ, we've got to have the right spirit. We've got to have the spirit of power, and we've got to have the spirit of love. For those 2 to 3 years' time, before Elizabeth withdrew herself from that area and came back, She won over 3,500 of these tribesmen to Jesus because she had the spirit of love. So in having the right spirit, not only do we need to have the spirit of power that we spoke about this morning and how to get plugged in and how to receive that and how to take hold of that, but we must have that spirit of love and we must have a sound mind. Let me tell you this, folks. You try to do something for Christ and there's people all around and the devil himself that's going to try to tell you that you're crazy, that you've lost your mind. You're too old. You're too young. You're not fit for the job. You're not organized enough. You don't have the speaking ability. Anything that you can think of, someone's going to tell you that you don't have a sound enough mind, if you would, to take care of the situation that you just said that you're going to take care of. Don't let anybody stop you from what God has told you to do. We got to have that right spirit. And when we try to have that right spirit, God's going to tell us things that we're going to say, oh, hold on a second, you want me to do that? Yeah, I want you to do that. And don't let anybody talk you out of the decision you made with a sound mind. Don't ever doubt in the night what God gave you in the light. You know, a lot of times that when it starts getting hard, whenever your husband gets killed by and eaten by cannibals, you say, all right, you know what? We missed this call. We didn't get the right message. We got the wrong letter in the mail. I'm going back home. We just gonna have to try this over again. No. God will be with us no matter what, right? Doesn't the Bible say in John chapter 4 and verse 4, at the latter end of the verse, that greater is he that is in the world, or greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? God knows what's going on, does he not? We must reach this world for Christ. How are we going to reach the world? We must have the right spirit. Secondly, let's see here in verse number 8, it says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. And what's that word again right there? Grace. Which has given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You see, if we're going to reach this world for Christ, not only do we have to have the right spirit, but we also must have the right attitude. You see, we'll never have the right attitude if we don't have the right spirit. It'll never happen. If you're not having the right spirit about a situation, and man, oh man, I could have personal illustration after personal illustration of working in the ministry and doing this, and God's like, hey, how's your spirit? How's your attitude, Jake? And I just want to look up and go, I know it's awful, now leave me alone, all right? Let's just be honest. I'm doing what you told me to do, now leave me alone, all right? I went down to Mexico this past, I don't know how long it's been now, almost 2 years. Was it 2 years or whatever? It was in the past, all right? I'm losing my sound mind. I got to get that spirit of the sound mind back. I'm losing it, all right? So y'all pray for me. And we went into Mexico, and it was just a group of youth pastors. It was a special trip that they had done. This was the second time that they had done it. We went to, help me out here, it's right across from El Paso. Juarez, thank you. We went into Juarez, and we were going to this one. We had options of where we wanted to go, and the first place that we went, we were going to go to this really bad ghetto area, dirt floors is really rough, but we weren't able to do that for whatever reason. The leader didn't tell us it was too dangerous or just something didn't work out, and we went to this gated community. And it was really nice, actually, and I was just kind of thinking, it was nice for down there. It wasn't really nice for up here. It was nice for down there, there was a few youth pastors on the way home just talking in the back of one of the vans, in the van that I was in, talking about how they were kind of disappointed about the missions trip. They were disappointed about, and there were many saved that night, man, my goodness, can you just stop and think for a second? We have ministry leaders on a missions trip, and we're complaining that we didn't get to see as bad as it got. But we weren't rejoicing for those that got saved. Man, I wish they would have taken us to a place that was rougher. You know, I want to have a better story. Can you imagine the fact that people are getting saved, and you see how just a little thing? We didn't have bad intentions. We weren't upset because people got saved. We just, you know, there was just, and God just stopped and said, "Hold on a second, guys. Are we really having a bad attitude for coming down here and reaching children's souls for Christ? Did you stop and just stop and think for a second that we're down here trying to minister to little Mexican children, and I mean like 40, 50 kids got saved that night, and we're complaining because we didn't get to go to a rougher area. Now, when you step back, now I understand when you step back and you're looking at the situation from the outside, it's like, what are these guys nuts? What's wrong? These are youth pastors, these are ministers? No, but we all do the same thing, don't we? And we must have that right attitude. We are to have an attitude that by the grace of God, we can have the power of God. Amen? We have to have that right attitude. Not only do we have a right spirit, but a right attitude. Now, I don't know what God's going to ask you to do. I don't know what God necessarily has in plan in store for me. In fact, if God told me everything that he had in store for me, I'd probably run the other direction. But there's a whole world out there that needs the gospel, folks. And we live this lifestyle in America where we're just so spoiled, and we live like kings and we live like queens, and if we don't get it our way and we think that it should have been another way, man, we're so quick to complain and have a bad attitude, aren't we? Man, we should have been to a rougher area. We should have been doing this. We should have been doing that. And, you know, instead of understanding and accepting the fact of where we went and that kids were getting saved for God's glory, amen? And so, like, our attitude, we must have the right attitude and not have the American attitude of everything's going to be exactly the way I want it to be because I'm the king of my house. I'm the queen of this area. I want it this way. This is how I want it to be. And, God, if you don't get that right, then I'm just going to have a bad attitude. And we wonder why this world is dying and going to hell and not hearing about the gospel. We wonder why we can't fill the pews with people that love Jesus Christ. Because they see the attitude of a modern-day Christian. They say, I want nothing to do with that guy and what he has to say. If we're going to reach this world for Christ, we have to have the right spirit. The spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And if we're going to reach this world for Christ, then we must have the right attitude. And we can't have a right attitude if we don't have the right spirit. And number three, we must have the right endurance. The Bible says there in chapter 2, verses 1, it says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the, what's that word? Grace that is in Christ Jesus, in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And catch verse 4 here. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. What entangles you? Is it the thought of having to leave America? Is it the thought of, you know, the greatest opposition in America is not the liberals that are keeping us from reaching this world. The greatest opposition, I submit to you, of America is our luxuries and our level of comfort that we have. Man, I'm not going to go do that. I wouldn't have air conditioning. I'm not going to go do that. I mean, I might get sick. I'm not going to go do that. They don't have clean water. I'm not going to go do that because of this and because of that and because of this and because of that and because I want to go to the you name it. We must get out of our Americanized mind that we think that, well, everybody that I know is saved, and my brother and my sister and my mom and my dad and my grandpa and my grandma, they're all saved, so the whole world is saved as far as I'm concerned, right? Because we don't look any farther than that sometimes. And so it's not that we don't want to reach the world. We just think that our world's already been reached. So, I mean, everybody else's world, they'll be all right. But we have to reach those, and if we're not, in order to reach those, we got to have the right spirit. We got to have the right attitude. We got to have we got to have the right endurance. Because through life, when those ups and downs come, we have to stay stable. We have to stay consistent, like Paul was that we mentioned about in the very beginning. How he prayed and never ceasing. He prayed day and night for those that he remembered, those that he had already been with, those that had already accepted Christ as their Savior in other cities throughout his life. This was the last book that he wrote, folks, and this was towards the end in verse. In chapter number 4, he says that he was ready for his departure. He was ready to go. He had fought a good fight. And he said, look, I remember all those, and I'm praying for them, and I want them to do what I'm doing. I want them to evangelize the world. I want them to tell others about Christ. I want them to remember the main thing and keep the main thing the main thing, and that's soul winning and telling others about Jesus Christ. And what the thing that, that Jesus said before he left this world was to win souls and to baptize them and to teach others so that they can do the same thing. But we often forget that And our thought of, well, I'm comfortable, and I like where I'm at, and my job is nice, and I like my apartment, and I like my house, and I just finished it, and but God, you're calling me somewhere else? Like we mentioned this morning, I'm not asking you how much are you giving to missions and how much more we should give. But just ask God if we should give ourselves this next missions conference. And we stop and say, Brother Jake, stop being ridiculous. This is exactly where God has me. He's raised me here. I'm not going to leave. This is where he has me. And this message is not to get people to come down and surrender to go to the mission field tonight. That's not the purpose of it. But if that's what the Lord's laying on your heart, then you should do that. I should do that. But can we not forget, can we remember that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, that we're reminded that we've been bought with a price, folks. We're not our own anymore. We've been purchased. We've been purchased, and it says, therefore, glorify God in your bodies and in your spirit, which is Christ. That do we not forget that we don't belong to, we've forgotten that we don't belong to ourselves, that all of our stuff doesn't belong to us anyways. It's been borrowed just for a moment of time that we can use it for his glory. And how are we using our stuff for his glory? Are we just doing it for ourselves? Are we having a selfish time? Are we having a good time? And you know, there is no conviction and no standard that stops us from our entertainment. You can have a conviction and a standard on what you're going to wear to church and what you're going to do around church people. When it comes to my entertainment, don't talk about standards, because I like my entertainment. We've been bought with a price. And in fact, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it talks about that we're supposed to be a living sacrifice, does it not? And not only a living sacrifice, but it is our reasonable service. Our what service? Our reasonable service. And when's the last time you said to yourself that, look, God, you're right. You know, I don't belong to myself. I belong to you. What do you want me to do? God, none of my things, none of my money, none of the stuff that I've acquired in life belongs to me. What do you want me to do with it, God? When's the last time I said that? I'm preaching to myself more than I'm preaching to you tonight. When's the last time I said, all right, God, it's not mine. I'm not going to clench to it so hard anymore. I'm going to kind of open my hand and let it go. And you do whatever you want to with it. Because how many times do I have in my life, I mean, with my daughter, I don't necessarily want my daughter to grow up and go to Africa where I can never see her and never visit her and never see her kids and all that stuff. And that's a long time down the road. But I don't want her to do that. But if I believed God, if I had the right spirit and I had the right attitude and I had the right endurance, I'd want her to do that, wouldn't I? We hold too tightly to some things sometimes, don't we? It's not ours anyways. And so let's start loosening our hands and have that right endurance and have that living sacrifice attitude. And there was a Russian pastor back in the 60s and the 70s, back when before the wall came down, and the Russians had taken this man and they had tortured him, and they had tortured him so bad that they had him for 6, 7, 8, 9 years, and they tortured him and said, look, you need to renounce your faith and tell us that Jesus is not really the Savior and Jesus is not really God, and we'll stop. And I mean, he even became deformed because of how much torturing they had done to him. And after 6 or 7 years, they realized that he was not going to give in, that he was not going to denounce Christ, that he was not going to say that his faith was not real, that he was not going to give it up. So they took extra measures. They went and got his oldest daughter and brought her in. And they said, now, look, man, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take this iron and we're going to put it in the fire and we're going to stick it in her ears. And we're going to make her become deaf. And then we're going to cut her tongue out and make her mute. And if you don't denounce Christ. And as they're explaining this to him, she's standing right there and they got him pinned to the cell and he can't get up and do anything or stop them or even try. And as they're saying, all you have to say is Jesus is not God. That's all you got to say. And the little girl says, Daddy, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't denounce Jesus. And they poked the iron in her ears and they cut her tongue out. And he was a mess. And they went a week later, and they left him alone and solitary and just to think about those things. And he had a second daughter, and they brought her in and said the same exact thing. And they were getting ready to do that, and he was, they were going to allow him to speak, and same thing. Daddy, don't do it. It's okay. Don't denounce Christ. He's our everything. And they stuck it in her ears, and they cut her tongue off. And he had three daughters, and They did that again to his third daughter, and there was a conference after the wall came down. The, like 400 some odd preachers were released, and he was one of them. And their families got released and were let go out of there. And there was a preaching conference where he was giving his testimony, and he was all deformed and he looked awful, and he was telling his stories. And over there in the deaf section, there was three little girls that were sitting over there, and one of the preachers that saw this man giving his testimony walked over there and said, "You have found an interpreter," and said, "You girls are my heroes." And they said, almost simultaneously, all signed at the same time, "We're not heroes. It was just our reasonable service." And man, just to, you know, that, just to stop and think about what I'm not willing to give up. What I'm willing to hold on to because it's special to me. I don't know if I could have done that. It's a very, very convicting thought to think that those things would take place like that and they would still be faithful. We must be reminded that we're bought with a price, that we should be a living sacrifice, that it is our reasonable service. Let me ask you this question. Are you ready to reach this world? Are you ready? No matter what, no matter the cost, no matter what comes our way, no matter what happens in our life, are you ready to reach this world until Jesus comes back or until we breathe our last breath? Yeah, this is an exciting, most exciting time to live in all time, I believe, because you see, there's still over, statistics say, I this kind of blew my mind when I saw this, but over half the planet still hasn't heard the name Jesus, because more people are being born every day, and there's still people that haven't heard, and they're lost, and they're dying, and they're going to hell, but what a time to live, because with the technology that we have, and with the abilities that we have the opportunity to go and reach this world for Christ. You stop and you think about everybody having this, the technology and Wi-Fi and whatnot, that we could reach this world for Christ. The reason why it's not being reached is because we're sitting in these pews and we're leaving the place the same way that we came in, holding on and gripping on to everything that we have and just trying to acquire more so we can take it to what? Our grave? We must be a living sacrifice. If we're going to reach this world for Christ, we must have the right spirit, the right attitude, and the right living sacrifice. Amen? What's in your heart tonight? And what's in my heart? What is in you? And what is in me? And if what is in us is what's supposed to be in us, then nothing could stop us from reaching this world. And so, do you have the right spirit? Do I have the right spirit? Do we have the right spirit? Do we have the right attitude tonight? Do we have the right endurance? And are we presenting our bodies a living sacrifice? Are we doing that? And if the answer is no, I got two questions for you. Does God have all of you? Does God have all of you? And if He doesn't, why does it not bother you? Does God have all of you? And if He does not, why doesn't it bother us? We must have the right spirit, the right attitude, the right endurance, and the right living sacrifice before we're going to reach this world for Christ. Let's pray.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention? I want to introduce to you, in this corner of the good and the right, stands a champion robed in white. His height exceeds the heavens, His weight outweighs the world, His reach reaches everywhere, His age is evermore. He is higher than the highest, greater than the highest. and he reigns from above. He's the all-time undisputed, undefeated champion of love. He left his hometown to enter this arena, to raise his hands in victory for me. But then an angry crowd crucified this king who wore their crown, as they gladly watched their champion going down. But I will never count him out, for I am a witness of the day he rose to retain the title, champion of love. He is higher than the highest, greater than the great. No one will ever take his crown away. He's more mighty than the mightiest, and he reigns. Undefeated champion of love.